An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:41. Be more fun if we could talk about the Bears in the playoffs. Hey, maybe next year. But as we continue with show 562, we now go to the legend, Dan Hampton, and a special guest. It's sponsored by Chevrolet. And, of course, your Northwestern Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers will be well represented at the Chicago Auto Show, which will be here sooner than you know it. And I don't know if Hamp even knows it. You guys played the Auto Show last year. Are you playing this year as well?
Yes, sir. We're doing the Black Tie Gala.
Nice.
Is, of course, February 12th. And as a special invite, we're going to ask the kicker of the Minnesota Vikings to sit in on a couple of songs. Blair Walsh.
Because Robbie Gould wouldn't take your call, or what?
Yeah, and maybe Robbie Gould after some of the choking we've seen done by the kickers this year. That's pretty bad.
Wasn't good. All right, I want to get into the playoffs, but first I want to bring in your old friend Richard Dent, who was standing by. That's our surprise guest, by the way, Dave. It's Richard Dent.
Richard Dent, really? Number 95, Richard the sack Dent. Man?
Richard Dent, the sack man. Good morning,
hey,
Richard.
Hey, what's up? What's the morning, guys? How you doing?
It's
kind of hard waking up this morning.
Yeah, we're getting no sympathy.
With all the choking you see going on this weekend.
All the mouthwash
around the NFL is pretty rough today. A lot of people couldn't brush their teeth today.
Couple of linemen, you guys just love kickers, don't you?
No, kickers in a tough spot, but you would think that, you just hate to see a team lose like that, I think the better team probably won, but Minnesota played well enough to win, but the fact that when you work that hard and get down there and make things happen, when you look at like them in Cincinnati, a team that just struggled, I thought Cincinnati was, pretty well off, thought that they was going to have an opportunity to, get to the big game there, but, it's just crazy, some of the things that you see there.
Didn't happen. Hamp, you and Dent played most of the best years with the Bears with one of the great kickers of all time, Kevin Butler. But did either one of you at any point, Hamp, let me start with you, did either one of you want to kill Butthead at any time?
Every day. That's just the personality. You want to choke him. Every time, it's like, you're here again? What are you doing here? I got to tell you, and it's a great story. We went to Denver, and he had three kicks in the second half to give us the lead, and we finally have to go into overtime. And finally in overtime, he makes the kick. And going running off the field, Dickie runs up and goes, "Oh, Butthead, I love you, I love you." And Butthead says, "Yeah, but if I would have missed that one, would you have still loved me?" And Dickie says, "No." He says, no, he says, "Yes, I still love you. I'd have missed you." Because your butt would be out of here.
Would have been sad to see you go. Richard Dent, did you ever have to take Butthead aside and say, if it happens again, I'm going to kill you?
No, kickers, you always kind of upset. You're looking around as you're working your ass off. You see this guy sitting around, ain't doing shit, sitting on his helmet, kicking around. You hate their lifestyle, but then again, you love them.
They just got to deliver. That's the bottom line.
You got to deliver, man. Somebody got to catch, hold, and snap, But a lot of guys, I don't know, they say they don't like kicking those laces, or the lace hurts, but... That's the playoff. That's the playoff. You think it's
got to get it done.
You think it's there, and it's just not there.
Wait, Richard, you said they don't like kicking the laces because they hurt. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The way we break for bones and blood guts, and they don't want to kick because laces.
Right. That's my point. We sitting around.
Oh my gosh!
And they're bitching about the laces.
Well, listen. It could really chafe your toes. You could really get a scrape there.
It's only going to hurt a second, man. Just hit it Before you know it, it'll go away, you know?
All right, we're going to let Richard go back to bed, but not before we do this. The BBF is a great family. The Better Boys Foundation is a great family services organization. And, Richard, I know you know these guys. I'm going to meet with them later today as well. And you have agreed to be roasted on Saturday, February 20th at Fulton Market at Revel. Do you know Revel at Fulton Market?
Oh, I do not, no.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'm told it's fantastic. We're expecting about 800 in-house, and Richard, all of your buddies are going to come by to insult you, including Mr. Hampton, we're hoping. Otis will be there, Steve McMichael, and by the way, Richard, I'll be there as well to hit you with a few, you know, laces. I don't care what way the laces are facing. I'll hit you with a couple as well.
I'm going to roast that Chicago 6 when it gets here, too.
But no, that's a good one, Rich. That's a good one. You don't worry about the 6.
You know, which I've been trying to get in this group for a long time. You know, I used to be in a group. I used to, I got 7 brothers. You know, like I said, my dad thought he had the next Jackson 5 back in the day.
Is that right? Were you a singer?
Yes, you know, and, you know, I could never really get anything done, so I started cutting grass, doing my own thing. But, you know, we used to have our own talent shows in the backyard, charge a quarter to get in. So, it's something that I would love to enjoy doing.
Well, Hamp, what's the problem? Let's help a brother out here, Hamp. Can we get him an audition?
We have seen tapes of the Dented 7 on YouTube.
All right, tickets to the Richard Dent Roast. BBF.
It's going to be a lot of fun, guys. And, you know, I'm working on a few other people. I got Marcus Allen, Eric Dickerson coming in.
Oh, excellent.
And so it's really going to be fun. You know, in the North Lawndale area, the Better Boys Foundation been around for so many years. A great gentleman that started his organization back in the 50s is Joe Kelman, who's a person that, you know, we used to do the Mackey Award with the NFL for many years.
Okay.
You know, with the things that we see were going on within our city, we have to be able to find out some ways to reach out and help some of these organizations that reside in our great city. So this is, you know, it's appreciation. I'm not a big jokester like Hampton. You know, who knows what these guys are going to come up with? Who knows what I'm going to come up with? But, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we want to get out and let kids know that, you know, if you're dreaming, it's possible to do whatever it is you want to do.
Well said. Yes, Hamp.
One last thing. Richard, we love you. Always will. Always have.
I love you too, my man.
Maybe the only person in town that is a more target-rich environment is me. So good luck to you.
It's the great Richard Dent, Dan Hampton. We'll come back with Hamp in just a second, and we will talk about the weekend and the playoffs just ended and what should be the best weekend, because it usually is every single year. The second week of the playoffs is usually your highlight. BBFFamilyServices.org. It's going to be a star-studded lineup, and I will host the event on February 20th. BBFFamilyServices.org, the Richard Dent Roast, and your support is appreciated. 7:49, we go back to traffic. Mary's here with that on 720 WGN. David Bowie, Young Americans. We're playing a lot of Bowie music today. Died unexpectedly this weekend. He was 69 years old. Hamp was a musician before he was a legendary NFL superstar and Hall of Famer. Who'd you want to be when you grew up when you thought about being a musician?
Well, I like John Fogerty of the old band Creedence. That guy was a genius, just like Bowie. And it's a sad era we're getting to because, you know, every once in a while, I listen to that old song, Rock and Roll Heaven.
Sure.
And when it was written and performed 20 years ago, you know, they were talking about Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. Now, it's a expanded roster for sure. That's a sad day.
I was talking earlier, Hamp, about this script they started writing that I never finished called Rock and Roll Nursing Home, because we've gotten to that point now where the nursing home would be filled with the Rolling Stones and all of these guys that would just make the nurses crazy. and tear the place up. They just do it slowly, and they'd want soup after. But it's crazy when you think about legends we grew up with. Now, you know, if they're not 70, they can see it from here, and some of them are into their 70s.
Yeah. Like I said, sad to hear about Bowie, but what a great era. What great music we were able to grow up with.
All right, so this Cincinnati Bengals-Pittsburgh Steelers game seemed like it was out of hand for the majority of the game. And this isn't the NFL going soft. This is, you know, playing a game that it ought to, the way it ought to be played. And the two penalties at the end of the game were about as dumb as it gets. What do you know about this guy, Burfict, on Cincinnati, who ought to be sat down and penalized and pay a big fine for the nonsense he was pulling?
Well, and you're exactly right. He has to be, you know, reined in. And if his coach could not do it, if his head coach, position coach or head coach couldn't do it, if his, you know, you have to have a certain tether to your team that you're not going to do anything to you know, undermine your team. If all those factors did not come into play during the course of a 3.5-hour football game, then he needs to really get a wake-up call. And that needs to be given by our phony commissioner, Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell should come out today and say, you know, this wasn't a one-time incident. It wasn't a one-time shot. This was an escalation of violent activity throughout the game. There's a way to play and there's a way to not to play. And you know what? He's going to be suspended for half of the year. And if they really want to make a statement, if they really want to make believers out of the media and the four-letter network, then do something that says, hey, we're not going to tolerate, you know, these headshot kill shots. When you know, on one side of the ledger, you're saying, oh, we're going to be tough on it, and then you don't do anything when it actually happens. So, yeah, this guy, he was out of control. And that would be something that would reverberate throughout the NFL, and everybody would say, hey, I'm going to lose half of my income if I take shots like that. So guess what? Nobody's going to take a shot like that.
He wasn't the only one, though, in that situation, Hap. I mean, Burfict was a big part of it, clearly. But then you had Joey Porter out there. You know,
Porter didn't hit nobody in the head with the helmet.
He didn't, but should a
shoulder pad.
But should a coach be allowed to be out there? According to the rules, he shouldn't have been.
Broken and fine. Yeah. You know, fine him away. It's like an NBA fight. Hey, fine everybody. Mm-hmm. Make them understand, hey, there's going to be a penalty. But here's the thing, and it really gets me stoked, because you know it's a great game, but now this political correctness, touchy feely, oh well, you know, because you know we have a small segment of players that have had issues, and yes they have, okay, a small segment, but if we're really going to do something, well, you got to back it up, and to allow this guy to take the shot, you know, and other shots, and basically, you know, try to instigate things throughout the course of a ball game, and you don't do anything as a head coach, as a position coach, as a teammate, then guess what? That's when the commissioner needs to come in and say, hey, we're not going to tolerate this. This is outside of the rules, the framework that we're trying to play the game with now. This isn't 1957. This is 2016. So we are not going to tolerate it.
Packers took it to the Redskins and really were in complete control of that game. What do you make of a team that looked almost unidentifiable last week against the Vikings and really scrambling and a hot mess to come in against, frankly, a hotter Redskins team and just own them that way? I mean, which Packers team is the real one?
Okay, I'm glad you asked this question, Steve, because this has a lesson that we here in Chicago can kind of learn and look forward to. The Packers have struggled the last 10 games for a number of reasons, but a combination of not protecting their, you know, quarterback and receivers not being able to get open has created this malaise. All right, and even in the first quarter, the Redskins were basically suffocating the Packer receivers. They were getting some pressure on Aaron Rodgers, forcing bad throws. Now, this is exactly what the Bears and Adam Gase as a coordinator last year, had to deal with. We had receivers that could not get open because they're not skilled and athletic enough to get open, and we could not protect because we had to move some people around. We had injuries on the offensive line. Now, through the course of that game, they went a little bit more max protection, and Aaron Rodgers, being maybe the best player in the game, showed it to be because he forced the ball in to a couple of those receivers, and they made great acrobatic plays. Now, once you start completing some passes, then fear starts to grip a defense. Not only the coordinator calling the call, but the defensive linemen, the corners, the safeties. Everybody starts backing off. And by the end of the game, the Packers were operating much like they had in the early games of the season. So, see, some big plays by a very skilled, you know, quarterback and receivers can do amazing things to back defenses off. But if you don't make those plays, they're going to compress you play after play after play. And that's what we saw this year. So the upside is, yeah, we got to get better in a lot of places. But one of them is we've got to be more explosive outside at the receiver position.
Seattle, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Kansas City move on. We'll set up weekend two on Friday with Hamp. But before I let you go, Hamp, Adam Gase takes the Miami job. It's not like we didn't expect him to leave, I guess, right?
They gave him control of the roster. I mean, they really wanted him bad. And you know what? It's basically, I think, that the one overarching quality, hey, I took an offense devoid of talent practically on the outside portions, meaning, you know, no wide receivers, a backup tight end most of the season, and a couple of young backs, and made Jay Cutler play the best he's ever played. They paid Ryan Tannehill a ton of money. They need a coach that can get him to respond like Jay Cutler. That's why he's in Miami.
All the best, buddy. Enjoy the week. I'll talk to you later on.
All right. See you Friday. Bye.
That's Dan Hampton, sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.